Okay, anyways, we're doing right now the Halach Ma'aniyah piece discussion together. So you asked already on the board, we had 8 questions. Really, the first question that Judah Esses even asked. Who wrote this? Who wrote the entire thing? I don't only mean Halach Ma'aniyah, I mean who wrote the entire Haggadah? That's a great question. Not for now. Why is it Aramaic? As a matter of fact, there's only two... Leo Adams asked a good question. Well, there's only two parts of Haggadah in Aramaic. And they are... Halach Ma'aniyah and you should get this.
Is it a song?
Ayin. That's not Aramaic.
It's a good guess though.
I'm not gonna say your name even.
It sounds like Chagadia.
Thank you, Chagadia. Which, by the way,
okay, job, Jeremy Hunt.
Which, by the way, are the bookends of the Haggadah. Interestingly enough. The first and the last piece of the real joint participatory parts of the Haggadah are Aramaic. Everything else is Hebrew. So even though Leo said earlier on a good point, maybe he'll tell me it's Aramaic because that's where they were coming from in the Bavel, which was, and we'll see very soon a discussion of why they switched to Aramaic. When, as a matter of fact, if you know, we had 3 things in Mitzrayim that we were praised for. We didn't, Leo?
We kept our language.
Kept our language?
We kept our names.
Names?
And clothing.
Clothing. Excellent. So here we are right now, celebrating the beginning of our journey out of Mitzrayim, changing our language. And then we end the journey, changing our language? Excuse me? Was there a mistake in a Google Translate? Maybe. But it's not the shot I want to give over for you today. Aramaic, question number 1. Question number 2. Leo asked a great question that requires knowledge, which most of you brothers don't have. But Leo had it. Do you know that to join the Korban Pesach, you actually need to be invited in advance? How could you possibly say, hey, whoever wants to come now, you're welcome to join me. The halacha is, you're only the minuyav, only those who were invited when the shechita, before the shechita even happened, can be part of that Korban. How can you sit right now and offer someone to join if they weren't part of the Korban originally? Kasha number 2. Number 3 and number 8 will join together. Doesn't seem to be a little outdated of a message, right? Next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, who's staying here for Pesach? Gabe, anyone else? Nebuch, really?
Jeremy's
gone home.
Okay.
I think Jeremy's gone home.
So Gabe Miller is a chush of Jew.
Jeremy,
I'm not going to ask how many days he's keeping, but I hope he's keeping 2.
Jeremy.
I'm not going to ask. Anyways, there's outdated. If Gabe's here and I'm here, am I still going to say... Oh, I skipped that one. That wasn't a good one, anyways.
Wait, that is all time.
Wait, so why do we take over
now? What the heck? What's that? I'm getting there.
Did someone ask that?
No, no, but. Number 1. We live here. We live here.
I had so many.
Okay, anyways. The 2 outdated parts of the Haggadah. One, I mean, it seems to be on the Halach Ma'aniyah. We live here, right? Those of us who live here, myself, Gabe Meller, we would be here for Chag. So do we say, Hashata Hacha, now we're here, Shana Ba, Bar de Yisrael? We're already in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. So why am I making that comment? And also, the next part we said over here, Hashata Avdi, we're slaves. We're not slaves. We're brushed up, we're able to do what we want, we're free people. Okay, there are times maybe we're a little uncomfortable being Jewish public. We don't wear a kippah, maybe something like we wear a hat instead. But we're not really slaves. We could if we wanted to. We're certainly not slaves. You know, we have a democracy of the country that we're mostly in charge of. So is this a little outdated? Moving on to the question. As Jonah asks, it seems to be repetitive. Is that your question, Jonah? Is that you asked that or not? So here we are. We actually, there's 2 parts repetitive. Called Dichman Yesev Yecho, whoever wants to come. Come and eat. Whoever wants to eat, come and eat Pesach. Come and join us. Now we're here. Next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Now we're slaves. Next year we'll be free people. It sounds like there's a repetition going on. Is there a difference in those statements, those middle 2 and those end 2? To quote Jeremy Klein, we ate this when we were dipping. Right? We didn't eat this when we were in Mitzrayim. We ate it on the way out of Mitzrayim. So here it says, Halach ma'amid yachal avasana be'arad in Mitzrayim. Did we eat it as we were leaving Mitzrayim? And the last question, which is a very proud question, which Leo asked as well, it seems to be a very late invitation. Here we are at our meal, table set. We already did Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Starting Magid, doors closed. We're downstairs in our dining room. Or maybe for you, it's in the same level you walk in on, the same floor. You're in the dining room, and you say, who wants to, you didn't ask that? Whose question was that? Gabe Miller asked a question.
Maxwell Ellis.
Jeremy Klein asked a question.
Gabe started off like,
okay, call it vote to all of you. All of you.
By the way, this one might have been Jeremy's, but the we aren't slaves now was mine. And it was on our way out. That's one.
It was mine.
No, dipping.
No, because remember what I mean when you were translating and I said.
Okay, yeah. I said you sold it. That's true.
No,
okay.
I was dipped.
You dipped. Anyways, the point is that this is a very late invitation to be inviting people to come to your house when the door is already closed and no one can hear you except for everybody at your table in the first place. So it's a pretty hollow invitation to be making. These are the questions, again, as I mentioned earlier on, what we should be doing with our Pesach preparation is get yourself a Haggadah, hopefully one that you can understand. So if you need English, it's okay also. Hebrew, it'll be great to learn it. If you learn Hebrew, it'll be great to learn it. You should look at a piece and you should try to think of questions in advance. The odds are, if you have a question, it's probably a good question unless you already thought of, unless it's a bad question, which I'll just ignore. Like maybe that one. No, I'm kidding. Anyways. joke. But seriously. Anyways. The odds are someone else already asked it, and therefore you can probably find a nice shot to a question. If I recommend, if you want at my table, my thoughts on how to do a Seder, if you have a piece, just ask your question. Don't tell your answer, but ask your question. What do you think? It seems to be a very late invitation. What do you think that is right now? Why make this something we should do beforehand? We should do it in shul. We should plop the bima before you leave shul. Who needs a place to go? Your bite's come to my house for Pesach Seder. Ask the question. Let the tzibur think about it a little bit. Let them talk out a little bit. So that's how I would recommend if you have this, you want to add to your meal, these such things, this is a nice way to do it. You don't have to, I'm just suggesting.
It can't be enough. It can't be enough, you know.
They won't feel awkward. They'll feel like, wow. No, yeah, they will. Don't underestimate it. Don't underestimate it. I have a sheet over here, and I mentioned many of the stuff that's taken from the Haggadah called Haggadah Brura. For today, at least. Okay? I want you to see it. You can look at it later on. The small, you turn to the other side of the page. There's not a lot of money on it. The bottom half of the page, I wrote 1, 2, 3, and 4 next to them. Those are 4 different shots that we have that he quotes different people who weigh in on this topic. I need some of these topics. You'll see some of them we'll address, some we'll answer, some we will not address, and we can maybe you can bring it to your families and figure it out there. What was your question, Judah?
Could it be a non-Jew be invited?
Well, it's not really an invitation to anybody.
No, I'm saying that like...
Can a non-Jew be at your Seder? Yeah. They could not eat your Pesach. For sure, they can't eat your Korban Pesach. Of course. Okay, have anyone you want your meal at theater, I guess. So you learned it's over. What's that? We don't have it now. But if you had it, they could not join you for that. Okay, look over here. I wrote number one. Now again, this is from the Sefer I mentioned earlier on, Haggadah Brura. What he does is he usually takes little ha'aras, little pieces. Like for example, over here, I'll just show you what the picture looks like. Over here. So I copied for you from the first one was what Maisa Nisim. So it's this piece over here. It was the Rashba. So over here I boxed out for myself and for you. Few others. So yeah, little people we quote, not little people, they're big people. Little pieces he quotes of great people who came before us. We showed him, or Achronim, who weighed in on the topics that we've addressed, maybe other topics we have not addressed, and they'll analyze that. So look at that on your own time, and happy for you to glance at it. It's more than just that, there's also halachas in the beginning of the Sefer, and he quotes at the end of Chavetz Chaim, shuts him on some of the Torah portions that have been quoted. Okay. Maisa Nisim. Baal Maisa Hashem. It's the name of the person who wrote the same Maisa Hashem, Perish Bazet. You know halach ma'ani who ke'ein kina. You know what a kina is? We say kinos.
Yeah, like a singing song of mourning.
Yes, we call it a lament. It's a lament.
Lamentation.
It's like a kina. Halach ma'ani is actually a sad song. It's a sad song. It's a lament. Shenitakim b'bavil. As Leo said earlier on, it was a language appropriate for Bavil, where it was being instituted. The Kayim Mashiach, as it says, "Lo alas Yerushalayim al rosh sukhasi." If we do not go up to Yerushalayim to celebrate our smachot, our happy occasions, dainu. It's Mashiach Beis Hamikdash Hayakayim by a Pesach Nechal Rak Munuyav, as Leo said. When Beis Hamikdash was around, you could only eat on a Pesach if you were invited to join. If you were invited to be part of it from the beginning, before. before you even offer it. Masha inkin akshav, which means, what's Masha inkin mean? As opposed to. As opposed to today. I could invite you Erev Pesach in shul, I could have in theory, to my seder. You know what that means? It means I don't have right now a Korban Pesach. If I had one, I couldn't invite you to my meal. This is a lament. Same way that you break a cup under a chuppah. And not as a mazel tov, by the way. When someone breaks glass in the restaurant, it's not mazel tov. It's like, because the breaking a cup under a chuppah isn't... We're not complete. We have sorrow. We don't base the fingers around. When you see the put ashes on the chassan's head, on his hair, or his tefillin are, no one says mazel tov. It's a sad moment in time.
People do say that, right?
That's the last thing you do before everyone goes,
no. That's the problem. We've created a Pavlovian effect that you hear a glass break and everyone's like, mazel tov. The glass break is actually very sad. It's a sad thing that basically we're not here anymore and we're breaking a glass to recognize that we're not complete. Some people, what they do now, some people what they do is they try to avoid the response of breaking glass to mazel tov, is that they now break the glass in the middle of the Mishkan Yerushalayim. So no one's screaming mazel tov yet because we're not done yet. But the point is, you mentioned Yerushalayim, what it is, it's a recognition that right now we're having a beautiful simcha, but it's not complete yet. How do we know it's not complete? Because I couldn't invite you to my meal if it was complete. Like Korban Pesach could not be you unless I had you in mind what was being offered. And therefore, it's exactly the point. Question number two, Leo asked, the reason why it's an Aramaic, we'll say that in a minute, the Aramaic part, is because it's really the sign of Golus. It's a symbol of Golus that you're allowed to be here. Even if I am in, back over here, it's answered a few questions actually. Answers the question, Aramaic. Answers the question, can't just do it? It's a question of, we live here, right? Three questions and that one answer we're giving right now. We live here, but we're not here completely. And the proof is that I couldn't invite you if you were here completely. You couldn't be part of Korban Pesach if you were here completely. Because then I would have to invite you in advance, not right now. That's why it's in Aramaic, it's in the language of Golus. Because this is not a exciting, you know, even I asked you the songs that you sing, how do you sing it? So most are probably not so upbeat. I don't know how yours are. Mine, I'm not going to sing for you because my voice is terrible. I tried already. No one knew what I was talking about. But it's not an upbeat song. This is a, put yourself in a somber mood before you start. When I start my simcha out, I have to kind of be a little somber, realizing that I'm not right now in a good place. I'm not in a place where I can have the Korban Pesach. I'm not where I'm supposed to be in the end of the day. That is shot number one. So we answered three questions. Shot number one, why is it Aramaic? Because it's really a sign of ghosts. We live here, but we don't live here enough to be basic things around to allow us to have this chus of Baruch Hu Pesach. That's why I can invite you today when I cannot invite you normally. Okay, that is part number one. Number two is quotes to the Rashi over here. Kefil Aloshon Hashata Halcha Hashata Avde, which was Jonah's question. Why don't we have like two separate things? Here we are in Galus. Here we are Avadim. Says the Rashi number two I gave you here. There are Shtei Geulos. There are two separate gulas going on. Gulas haguf niim, me'avis l'cheirus, v'so gulas nefesh, hasichlis, migulas yitzharara, ha'makei v'hasagasa. One gulas is a physical gulas, a slavery gulas, and gulas number two is a gulas of our spirituality. And therefore we're pointing out we have two separate things we have to work on. We have to work on a gulas. Repetition over here, it's repetitive. We have to work on a gulas of our bodies, which is what we're commemorating is happening in the Mitzrayim, and the gulas of our soul. They're two separate things, and therefore they both require mentioning. L'shon haba b'nei chorin. It's very interesting over here. L'shon haba b'nei chorin says the kolbo, number three, is actually in Lashon HaKodesh. L'shon haba is Lashon HaKodesh. Why? Why do we switch? L'shata is Aramaic of Shana. L'shata. It says L'shana. Why is it switched to Hebrew for that part? Fascinating. Shad the Kolbo brings down. So you have Vinu Hamamar Zeh Armiim V'Yachshavu Otam Mordim B'Malchus. If we would say in the language that the people in our native land understood, next year we're no longer going to be slaves. Next year we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. You know what they think that is? A call for rebellion. A call for, you know, joining the other team. We don't want anyone in the Kolbo to understand that we are that we're kind of discussing and describing our future goal to leave this place we're in right now and to go to Eretz Yisrael, to no longer be under someone else's rain. That would be something that we don't want our natives to hear necessarily. So we change that part. It's actually in Hebrew. Lashon Haba is not, it's not Aramaic, it's actually Hebrew. And the final part of here, again, in Aramaic, the final part, number four, the Vudraham, brings down and says, why is it in Aramaic? We are about to start the Maggid part of the Haggadah, and we're going to describe the from the Gullus to the Gula. If we started describing and talking about it in Hebrew, so we're told that the Malachim do not understand Aramaic. Why that's the case? I have no idea. It's the one language Malachim don't understand is Aramaic. We say Aramaic, we don't want them to say, what? You're going to redeem these people? Do you know what they've done this past year? So if we start off with describing the beginning of the redemption in Hebrew, we started off that way, then it might question God's brother, why are you allowing them to go through the Gula process? Why did you redeem them? Look what they've done with their lives. Are they actually so committed to you? What's that again? Excellent question. So understand why they ended that way. I refer you to the Torah Shraga Haggadah, written about 10 years ago, with a piece written by yours truly for a chiddush. So why we start and end with Aramaic. I did that myself. But I want to do one last piece with you. A fascinating shot. And look at where we're at for a second. We have over here of our seven questions. I mean, these two are similar to each other, and I didn't skip one of them. So with our six or five questions, we've addressed a number of them. Not all of them. This one we're not really addressed. This one we did address, sorry. Right? We have a spiritual slavery and a physical slavery. Late invite, we didn't really fully address. This one's actually a beautiful challenge. It's quoting the source. It's an Haggadah Hagyoni Halacha addresses this John here. Very nice idea he has. Beautiful idea. I'll mention some other point in time. Late invite's a good question. The Kia is a great question. But I want to share with you one last shot, which is one of my favorite Haggadahs that I use often. It's not so usually directed at the Haggadah. It's more ideas that we loosely connect to the Haggadah. And we take it from other sources that are not really about the Haggadah to attach to the Haggadah. That's it. That Haggadah is called I mentioned in the past, Arzei Lebanon. Arzei Lebanon is called in English the Cedars of Lebanon Haggadah. They have it also in English. It's by the Rosh Yeshivas of recent generation. And over there he has the following interesting question. I mentioned already in passing a little bit, but it's a fascinating shot he brings down. Look at number five, which I gave you, and we'll close with this point. He says, "Meshivim shnos galus bavel nefcha l'shonam l'sfas bavlim." In the 70 years of galus, our languages changed into the language of the natives of the Babylonian. Lozu bilvad. Not only that, elashim nisharah safazu imahem gam shchaz artzol. This language stayed with them. Even when they returned back to Israel, they still spoke in Aramaic. The Gam Libud Torah nefachu lashon Aramis. Even Torah learning, again, not for us, but in the time of the Gemara, look at what it says. It's in Aramaic. It turns to Aramaic as well. Kilo rak a Talmud of Babylon nefachu Aramaic. Not only was it Babylonian Talmud in Aramaic, but a Talmud of Yerushalmi, Shnifta Be'eretz Yisrael, is also lashon Aramit. Sursit nichtav. Madu is it? Why did we turn our learning, our language, Aramaic? I'll especially point to the fact, as I pointed out earlier, that the three things that we kept, one of them was a language. Why did we give in to our language and let it become the language of the country we're in, and not the language of us, of our native language? So here, Kasim Aran Hagon Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Philly, represent. The Chum wants to, what's lahadgish mean? Wow, that's a leaving.
That's
really Toronto. The beef, you got a beef?
Very
simple. I hear that. Anyways, the Chum wants lahadgish means to emphasize a very important yisod, very important fundamental point. Shatkufas abayis hasheni lo haisa tkufas gula. Very important idea here. The time of bayis sheni, based in Mikdash, was not a real Gula. What does that mean? Basic figures around. The truth is, we were not yet done with our necessary gullus that we had since the Rebbe's was destroyed. But we needed help. We couldn't survive in our current state. We needed help. And therefore, they'll be shuras adin. Really, the letter of the law should have been we should have been stuck in Golas in Babel for a much longer period of time. El Shirasa Ashgacha El Yonah, God's Baruch Hu, with his great wisdom, sees Shlachar Shivim Shonak for Nitma Vitzari Rova Am Ben Agoyim. This is a frightening thing. With 70 years of exile already in Babel, we were already becoming so assimilated into the countries that we were part of. We were barely recognized as our own people anymore. With Milio. Please. Lachin, Chiltzom HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'chziram L'shar Shem Aruchani. Hashem Chiltzom, Hashem removed us. He brought us back to our Shosh Aruchani, which is Eretz Yisrael. V'av Bona Lehem Es HaBeis HaBechir, He even gave us the Beis HaMikdash back. Ach HaKol Hay Ba'Ofen Zmani. What does Zmani mean? What is good time? What is it in time? Yeah. Temporary. It was a very temporary fix. This just gives us a little shot in the arm, a little chizik shavaton, so we'd be able to last the long years awaiting us in Golos. L'chein apopish yecheskel navi odianu is called tachnit abayis shishit b'pratel. Yecheskel, even though he gave us each detail how to build the base of Mikdash HaShlishi, and again, in specifics, Vizihar knew the Shanunah Udaitai, he warned us, know this well, we did not build base of Mikdash that way. Lobanu as a bias Hasheni, Alpik Tchach Techniso, we did not build that way. Ki Adhu Shlo Zeyir Abayis HaNitzchi, Shitzchayim L'Olam. This was not going to be the everlasting Gula we were waiting for. It's only Gula Zmanit V'Ara'it. It's a very temporary Gula. Very important idea over here. When Chazal, Baruch Hu gave us back, basically Shady, he redeemed us from 70 years of Golos. He only did so because he knew we would not survive if he didn't. This was not our real Geula. Basically Shady was not as grand as basically Rishon. The language that we were so strict in keeping, Mitzrayim, we dafka threw away afterwards. Why? Because Chazal wanted you to understand this is only to give you a shot in the arm. It's a boost. That's all it was. It was not a Geula Shlema. And therefore, he points out, that's why it's an Aramaic. And frankly, we still are slaves. And even live here, we don't really live here right now. And for that reason, the language stayed the way it was because they were trying to tell you that the Geula we are currently in is not a real Geula. There are people who ask the question on Tisha B'Av, why do we say Nachem anymore? You know, if you read Nachem, the city is desolate. The streets are desolate. The people are no longer... What? Have you looked in Eretz Yisrael recently? It's not desolate at all. We are a booming nation. Technologically savvy, leading the world in many areas. We brought such things. We're not at all desolate. If you remember Rav Gal, who spoke to us at Discovery, the Asia Torah seminar we had that day, he showed pictures of what it was like and what it is like today. Right when he was singing the whole I'm Coming Home song? Remember that whole thing he had, all that shtick? Who? Forget him.
Rav Gav.
First
speaker in the nation.
Anyways.
You don't like it was a competition of you. It wasn't your song they played, huh? So you don't remember Rav Gav who?
Oh, no.
Anyways. The land is not desolate at all. So some people ask, they say, why say Nachim? Why do you have a whole entire bruch on Tisha B'Av describing the desolation of Eretz Yisrael? And what he says right now back to you is, I'll tell you why. If you would go to the Kotel HaMaravi on a Saturday night, today, not today, but nowadays, and then you wait till like 12 at night, or even better yet, Yom HaAtzmaut, which will be the next month we have together, a very special day in theory in the country, right? A great day of our independence from our enemies, being gifted the land of Israel, a very holy day. And you would go to Kotel, you would down because the Baruch was thanking you so much for this gift that we had. Then you walk 20 minutes from that spot to the middle of town, and you watch what happens in town, in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. The spiritual desolation that the youth have here. It's not about a physical thing. It's not only physical, as we mentioned in the last piece we talked about. We are currently right now in it's a a nebuch of a country spiritually. People want just to prove this. You picture young men like yourselves, 18 years old, spending your time in Eretz Yisrael. What more could you ask for? And though I don't know what this means even, but if you go to certain places in Tel Aviv, on a Thursday night or a Saturday night in the beginning of your Shana Aleph year, how you encounter, bump into, my guess is, over 100 young men and women like yourselves at a given spot that should be on some college campus in the world where your parents would be terrified that you might go to. And instead, it's in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing. We need to be comforted. Because we're always comforted. You can walk 20 minutes from the Kotel, the old city where they sent you to be, to chaos, to drinking and mingling in such inappropriate fashions that could happen. And when I was there, it was something called the Underground. It was a bar in the area. Different bars where they have than they had when I was there. That happens with a 20-minute walk to the base of Mikdash. Nachim. Oh, we have Eretz Yisrael though, right? We made it. We didn't come close to making it yet. We have a very big piece of the puzzle. But we are so far from what's supposed to be. So here we are, living in Eretz Yisrael. Gabe and I will be in Eretz Yisrael saying, Hashavta Hacha, the Shavat Labar in Israel. You know why? Because maybe geographically I do live in a place called Israel. But spiritually you could not tell. If you walk into something right now, you wouldn't know what city you're in the world. Could be any city with any number of people doing any number of bad things. And it's in Eretz Yisrael. It's not called Eretz Yisrael anymore. It's not called what we're supposed to be living in our homeland. That's what happens to almost, you know, definitely not everyone. But many, many people go to study in Israel and have that experience. How could that be? How could that be what we're davening for? It's not what we're davening for. It's a temporary gula. Till we get to the real gula, which we're doubting for. Hashata Acha, Hashata Avdei. I'm asking the Rebbe, please give us the gula that you really meant for us to have. Stop over here as far as the Haggadah goes.